Program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Millbury, Leicester, and Oxford. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, I will be reading recent articles about Auburn, Grafton, Millbury, and Sutton from a variety of news sources covering these communities. This is Arnie Wensky. Thanks for joining me. We begin with articles, information, and announcements about the town of Auburn. The next select board meeting will be held on Monday, June 8th, at Camp Gleason. I'll present an agenda at our next broadcast. However, this week, some of the upcoming meetings and events in the town of Auburn include: on Monday, June 1, the Board of Health meeting, 6 p.m. at the Select Board Room at Town Hall. Also at 6 p.m., Zoning Bylaw Review Committee will be held in the Conference Room 1 at Town Hall, and that is on Monday, June 1st. On Tuesday, June 2nd, the Auburn Housing Authority will meet at 10 a.m. at the Auburn Housing Authority, and the Agricultural Committee, 7 p.m. in the Conference Room 1, and the Elm Hill Water District at 7 p.m. at 55 Jerome Avenue. There are no meetings on Wednesday, June 3rd. Next announcement from the town of Auburn, dated Tuesday, May 26. Tuesday night was the final class for the town's Leadership Academy. For the past 13 weeks, five high school students participated in a series of structured, interactive sessions designed to provide insight into Auburn's town government. They met with every department in town to learn the mission and the behind-the-scenes working of the Department of Division within town government. All of the students have an interest in pursuing careers in government after college. Attendees of the program were Vienna Chang, Ava Lane, Amon Gumi, Julia Velasquez, and Elizabeth Hernandez, who received a graduation certificate from Select Board Chair Ann Cavanaugh. Our next announcement from the town of Auburn: Household Hazardous Waste Day on Saturday, June 6, 2026, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., sponsored by the Town of Auburn Board of Health. This event is open to Auburn residents only. Please bring your ID. Please note multiple drop-off locations for this event. The town reserves the right to refuse any item deemed not suitable for this program. Residential waste only, no businesses. Hazardous waste drop-off at Auburn DPW 5 Millbury Street. Items that will be accepted are acids and bases, batteries, corrosives, flammables, herbicides and pesticides, holiday string lights, household chemicals and cleaners, mercury-containing items, motor oil and automobile fluids, paints, thinners, poisons, tires, weed killer, wood preservative. Items not accepted include asbestos, ammunition and explosives, commercial waste, latex or acrylic paint, PCBs, radioactive materials, reactive or unstable materials, unknown or unlabeled materials, sharps and medications. Sharps can be brought to fire rescue headquarters, and medications can be brought to the police station. Electronic drop-offs at Town Hall, 104 Central Street. Electronics will be collected for a donation. Proceeds go to the Masonic Charities. List of acceptable items and pricing will be identified by the Masons. Propane tanks and fire extinguishers drop-off at Fire Headquarters, 47 Auburn Street. Propane tanks, 1 to 20 pounds. Please have valves removed. Please call the Board of Health at 508-832-7703 with any questions. Once again, the Household Hazardous Waste Date will be held Saturday, June 6, 2026, from 9 a.m. to noon. Our next announcement from the town of Auburn. Special town meeting. The warrant is open on June 15th at 8 a.m. To submit a warrant article, residents need to go to the town clerk's office to get a blank petition form. After getting 100 signatures, submit it to the town manager's office. We suggest more than 100 signatures to allow for a buffer against non-residents and non-registered voters or ineligible signatures. The town clerk's office is located at 104 Central Street. The town manager's office is 102 Central Street. Please call 508-832-7720 with any questions about the special town meeting on June 15th, starting at 8 a.m. Our next announcement from the town of Auburn, Independence Day celebration. Dr. Arthur and Dr. Martha Pappas Recreation Complex on June 30th, starting at 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Rain date will be on July 1st, 2026. Free WRTA and AA transportation shuttle service pick up from Patchogue School, Senior Center, and Auburn Mall. No pets allowed, service dogs only. For further details and parking maps, please call the Recreation and Culture Department at 508-832-7736. The next announcement from the town of Auburn, 2026 Summer in the Park Concert Thursday series from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. First concert on June 4th, Robert Black, Elvis Tribute. June 11th, Alter Ego, Party Rock. June 18th, Verona Rose, Alternative Power Pop. On June 25th, On the Rocks, Classic Rock. July 9th, Boys Gone Wild, 80s Rock Tribute. July 16th, The Brat Pack, 80s Tribute. July 23rd, XS Band, Motown to Top 40. On July 30th, The Dorlorians at the 70s and 80s. August 6th will be Doc 10, 70s and 80s. August 13th, Below Deck Yacht Rock. August 20th, Forever Fab, Beatles Tribute. August 27th, Aquanet, 80s Rock. And finally, on September 30th, Petty Larceny, Tom Petty Tribute. Again, this will be held at the Riley Pappas Performance Pavilion at the Dr. Arthur and Dr. Martha Pappas Recreation Complex. And these concerts in the park concert series for the summer will be held on Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The following are the results from the recent Town of Auburn annual election on May 18th, 2026. Auburn Housing Authority for 5 years. Kevin Charles Trina won that. On the Library Trustees, the Auburn Free Library Trustee for 3 years. Both candidates won. Erica Lynn Brasher and Matthew Toth. Moderator for 1 year, Doreen Marie Goodrich. School committee for 3 years, Stephanie Parker and Rachel Ellen Girardi. Board of Selectmen for 3 years, Ann Cavanaugh and Todd Michael Corain were elected. Southern Worcester County Regional Vocational School for 3 years, Erica Crystal Ucker. And then Southern Worcester County Regional Vocational School for 2 years, unexpired term, Christy Kaminsky will serve in that role. And there are a number of people elected for town meeting member for all the precincts throughout Auburn, Massachusetts. That are your election results for the 2026 town election. Polling announcements are from the Auburn, Mass. Police Department. May 25th, while the weather didn't exactly cooperate this morning, the rain stopped just in time for the start of Auburn's Memorial Day Parade. The Auburn Police Department is honored to take part in this annual tradition as our community comes together to remember and pay tribute to the brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice in service to our nation. Thank you to everyone who lined the parade route, participated in today's events, and helped ensure that the true meaning of Memorial Day remains at the forefront of our hearts and minds. Today, we remember. Today, we honor. Today, we are grateful. Our next announcement from the Auburn, Massachusetts Police Department, dated May 22nd. It has been a decade since Officer Ronald Tarantino Jr., a son, a brother, a husband, a father, and our friend, was killed in the line of duty on May 22nd, 2016. Ron's dream was to be a police officer, and he fulfilled that dream first with the Leicester Police Department and then with the Auburn Police Department, serving proudly for a combined 9 years. He loved what he did, and we loved working alongside him. Ron had an incredible work ethic, integrity, compassion, and a presence that made even the hardest days seem okay. The pain of losing Ron will never fully go away. There is no anniversary that makes it easier, and no amount of time that makes it make sense. 10 years later, we still talk about him, sharing his stories, because he truly was larger than life. Those of us who served alongside him still proudly wear his badge number on our uniforms, and we will keep his memory alive for generations to come. The Auburn Police Department has now reached the point where there are more officers who never had the chance to hear him sing "Workin' on the Night Brew" to the tune of "Night Moves" while making the shift a pot of coffee than those we did. So today, 10 years later, we remember the night Auburn changed forever, but we also remember what came after it, Ron's larger-than-life legacy. We remember the officer who loved his job, the father whose heart lives on in his sons, the friend who made people laugh, and the man whose name now lives on through a bridge, a road, race, scholarships, acts of kindness, and every person helped in his memory. Today, we remember his sacrifice and celebrate his life because, let's be honest, he was kind of a big deal. Our next announcement comes from the Auburn, Mass. Fire Rescue Department, dated May 27, 2026. We are excited to announce the frontline fire engines from both the Auburn Street and West Street fire stations are now licensed with the state to operate at the paramedic level. The department responds to over 5,300 emergency calls annually, and 70% of the total call volume is simultaneous, meaning when one emergency call comes in, a second, third, and even fourth emergency will be called in to the 911 communications center, and multiple units will be committed to different calls at the same time. Having the ability to staff and operate our engines with paramedics mean that even if our transporting ambulances are committed to other calls, we are still able to provide the highest level of advanced life support, known as ALS, treatment while awaiting a mutual aid transporting ambulance. Just yesterday, the engines operated at the paramedic level twice while waiting for a transporting ambulance, and one of those calls was a cardiac arrest. Prior to this advancement, we would not have been able to operate as the paramedic level, even if there were paramedics on the scene, because the engines did not carry ALS equipment. This is a major step forward in the delivery of advanced life support pre-hospital treatment for the town of Auburn. Although paramedic engines are not uncommon in other parts of the country, it is not predominant in Massachusetts. The Auburn Fire Rescue Department now operates the only licensed medic engines in Worcester County and two of just a handful in the state. We will continue to always be forward-thinking and strive to be leaders in our industry and bring levels of service to our community that benefit the health and safety of our residents and provide them with the best chance of survival and successful outcomes during a medical emergency. Next announcement comes from the Auburn Youth and Family Services Meat Raffle Night on June 18th at 6 p.m. The location is Yongxing. All proceeds benefit the Youth and Family Services. It'll be free admission, exciting prizes and activities, raffle tickets, 5 tickets for $5, 10 tickets for $10, 20 tickets for $25. Once again, the date, June 18th at Yongxing. The following announcements comes from the Auburn, Massachusetts Senior Center's monthly newsletter, Flagtown Flyer. This is the June 2026 edition. The Senior Center is located at 4 Goddard Drive in Auburn. The number is 508-832-7799. The hours are Monday and Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The cover story of this month's Flagtown Flyer, Why a Senior Center is Needed. Social connection. Many seniors face loneliness or isolation, especially if they live alone or far from family. A senior center gives them a place to meet people, make friends, and stay socially active. Mental and emotional well-being. Engaging in activities like games, classes, discussions, or art helps keep the mind sharp and boosts mood, reducing the risk of depression or cognitive decline. Third, physical health. Fitness classes like yoga, strength and balance, or walking groups that are tailored for older adults. Staying active helps with mobility, balance, and overall health. Fourth, access to resources and support. Provides information on outreach services like Medicare, legal aid, transportation, and meal programs, and help with navigating them. Finally, purpose and routine. Having a place to go, things to do, and people to see gives seniors a sense of purpose and structure in their daily lives. Why should seniors attend? Stay active, both mentally and physically. Meet new people. Friendships are key to happiness at any age. Learn new skills. Take part participating in new classes. Eat well. Lunch is provided daily. Coffee, tea, and refreshments in the morning. Have fun. Card games, bingo, entertainment, trips. It's not just about services. It's also about enjoyment. A senior center isn't just a building. It's a gathering place where community and connection thrive. It promotes healthy aging, gives older adults a space to belong, and helps them live a fuller, more independent lives. There are a variety of programs to choose from, including knit and stitch, coloring club, fitness classes, walking club, bridge, entertainment bingo, technology assistance, pitch, dominoes, quilting meditation, cribbage, iPad craft class, floral arranging, health topics, lunch trips, discussions and support groups, and more. Details about these and other programs at the Auburn Senior Center, call 508-832-7799. The following are some of the programs being offered at the Auburn Senior Center during the month of June, beginning with Monday, June 8th, Neil Diamond tribute with Charlie Lask. In the 1980s, Charlie Lask was playing in cover bands. Even then, he knew he could pull off a Neil Diamond tribute. I admire him as one of the greatest performers and songwriters of our generation. I don't consider myself a Neil Diamond impersonator, but a tribute artist. Please call to make reservations for this program on Monday, June 8th, 508-832-7799. That's with Neil Diamond tribute with Charlie Lask. Next program on June 9th, Tuesday, the Fraud Squad. Here's what you can expect. A unique twist on empowering seniors to fight fraud. It's not a lecture. A lively 60-minute fraud prevention session led by senior volunteers. Scripted skits based on real scam scenarios engaging educational format, live questions and answers, and audience participation, printed takeaway materials. These volunteer actors are portraying real-life scams, in-person mailings, emails, and phone call scenarios lifted from the headlines. These skits, which are written for local seniors and portrayed by their peer group, help inform and empower while remaining fun to watch. This program, The Fraud Squad, will be held on Tuesday, June 9th, starting at 1 p.m., which is the same time as the Neil Diamond tribute on June 8th. To make reservations for The Fraud Squad, please call the Senior Center at 508-832-7799. Also on Tuesday, June 9th, Men's Club, calling all gentlemen. Are you looking for a place to share your thoughts and experiences, free from glitz and glam, free from pressures to be in and trendy, free instead to enjoy simple, ordinary things? Look no further. The Auburn Men's Club invites you to join us for our weekly gathering at the Senior Center. Share your thoughts and experiences, enjoy complimentary coffee and refreshments, connect with fellow gentlemen in our community, hang out with a bunch of good guys, chat about issues of great or little importance. Join us the second Tuesday, in this case, Tuesday, June 9th, and refreshments will be served. No reservations are needed, just drop in. And then on Thursday, June 11th at 9:15 a.m., Weird and Mysterious Creatures of Massachusetts. Everyone has a Bigfoot or two, maybe a huge panther lurking in the woods. We have them and so much more. Come to hear why a nice walk in the forest might not be such a great idea. And you don't want to miss learning about the Bridgewater Triangle. This on Thursday, June 11th, starting at 9:15 a.m., presented by Sari Bittix of the Auburn Historical Society. Call 508-832-7799 to register for this program. On Monday, June 15th, Stephen George. Starting at 1:15 p.m., Stephen George is a singer-songwriter from Massachusetts. He began learning guitar at the age of 10 and was inspired by the music from a broad range of generations, including oldies, pop, folk, Christian, and country genres. His sound allows him to express the color, creativity, and emotionality of the songs he performs. You will hear a wide range of music performed with passion and excitement. Music to him is a gift, and he looks forward to sharing it. That'll be on Monday, June 15th, 1 p.m. Call the Senior Center to register, 508-832-7799. Also on Monday, June 15th, starting at 12:30 p.m., Barbecue Lunch, sponsored by the Auburn Police Association, the Auburn Firefighters Association, and the Friends of the Auburn Senior Center. The music will be by Stephen George. $5 per person. Tickets available at the reception until it is sold out. On Tuesday, June 16th, there is the Grief and Loss Support Group. Please join us as we all navigate together this new normal through compassion, caring, and connection. We will learn about the five stages of grief and look at ways we can use coping skills and outside support to guide us through the process. This will be a monthly support group. We hope that you will join us. Light refreshments will be served, facilitated by Marilinda Vernon of the Salmon Home Care. Call 508-832-7799 to reserve a space. Also on Tuesday, June 16th at 1 p.m., estate planning, probate, and Medicare planning, or Medicaid planning. That's on Tuesday, June 16th at 1 p.m. Attorney Nick Davio will discuss estate planning, probate, and Medicaid in this one-hour free seminar. A well-crafted estate plan ensures that your financial and medical wishes are carried out should you pass away or become incapacitated. It can also protect your assets and help you avoid probate. The This generally includes a basic estate plan consisting of a last will and testament, durable power of attorney, and health care proxy. Some estate plans consist of trusts for various reasons as well. Attorney Devio will discuss how these estate planning documents work together, how the probate process works, and strategies people use to try to protect their assets in event of a long-term care. This on Tuesday, June 16th. Call the Senior Center 508-832-7799 to register for the estate planning, probate, and Medicaid planning call, and that starts at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, June 16th. 23rd, that's Tuesday, June 23rd at 1 p.m. AI for seniors. AI for seniors, what is it? How to use it, taught by Scott Bader. Artificial intelligence is quickly becoming a part of everyday life, from helping you write emails and find information online to organizing photos, answering questions, and even assisting with daily tasks. This class is designed especially for seniors who are curious about this technology and want to learn how it can make life easier, more convenient, and even a little more fun. Scott will break down AI in simple, easy-to-understand terms, no technical background required. Participants will learn what AI is, how it works in practical ways, and how to safely and confidently use tools like chat assistants and smart apps. There will be plenty of opportunities to ask questions, see real-life examples, and even try it yourself. Come discover how AI can be a helpful tool in your everyday life. On Tuesday, June 23rd, 1 p.m. at the Senior Center, call 508-832-7799 to register. The Senior Center serves lunch daily, Monday through Friday. On Thursdays, lunch is served at 11:45 a.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, lunch is served at 12 p.m. Remember, if you would like to join us for lunch, please make your reservations 2 days in advance. If you cannot keep your reservation, please call to cancel. Again, suggest a donation of $3. Call 508-832-7799. The menu for the next week, Wednesday, June 3rd, chicken piccata. On Thursday, June 4th, teriyaki beef with steamed rice, roasted broccoli. On Friday, June 5th, lemon pepper fish, lemon-seasoned potatoes, and mixed vegetables. On Monday, June 8th, macaroni and cheese, stewed tomatoes. And on Tuesday, June 9th, meatballs with onion gravy, bow tie pasta, Scandinavian vegetables. And on Wednesday, June 10th, marinated pork loin, cornbread stuffing, California blend. Again, call the Senior Center at least 2 days in advance to make reservations for any of these meals served at the Senior Center at 508-832-7799. The article comes from the May 29th edition of the Auburn News. Busy summer ahead for Auburn Recreation. Auburn Recreation and Culture is preparing for a busy summer season with a wide variety of programs and community events designed to bring residents together through fitness, music, recreation, and family activities. Among the upcoming offerings is the Mason Jar Flower Arranging Workshop scheduled for Wednesday, July 22nd at 6 p.m. at Camp Gleason, 261 Central Street. Participants will create decorative floral arrangements while learning flower arranging basics in a relaxed setting. All supplies are included. The cost is $55, payable upon registration, and checks should be made to the Town of Auburn. The department is also continuing its partnership with the United States Tennis Association through the Tennis in the Parks program, which introduced children to the fundamentals of tennis in a fun and supportive environment led by the USTA approved coach. The program focuses on helping players develop skills to serve, rally, and play using age-appropriate equipment. Students participating in their first session will receive and keep a new tennis racket and tennis ball. Sessions are scheduled at the Auburn High School Tennis Court, 340 Southridge Southbridge Street. There are many, many other programs as well being offered by the Recreation and Culture Department. For more details and registration information on the Auburn Recreation and Culture Programs, residents may contact the department at 508-832-7736. That's 508-832-7736. Only news, information, and announcements are for the town of Grafton. Our next article, then, is from the Worcester Telegram Gazette. Grafton passes override to support schools. Grafton voters in Grafton passed Proposition 2.5 tax cap override request Tuesday night, May 19th, which officials in the community say will allow them to maintain level service for their public school systems. Proposition 2.5 is a state law enacted in 1980 that prohibits total property tax in a community from being raised higher than 2.5% per year. If a town's expenses exceed available funds, the town can hold an override vote to cover the extra cost. By law, an override vote needs to appear on the ballot question available to all registered voters to vote on. In Grafton, voters approved a $5 million override with 2,467 voting in favor and 1,428 against, according to the results posted by the Grafton Town Clerk's Office. A majority of that funding will be used to support the Grafton Public Schools over a five-year period. According to the town, the average residential tax bill will increase by $146 per year over the five-year period. Grafton Town Meeting voters May 13th approved placing the override on the ballot by a 575-131 vote. If the override did not pass, Grafton would have been looking at significant cuts, including about a dozen school staff positions, as well as an end to middle school sports and reductions in foreign language programs. In addition to the override vote, Grafton elected two new select board members, Victoria Duckworth and Colleen Roy, won open seats on the board and will replace Mark Alimo and Matthew Often, both of whom did not seek re-election. Duckworth received 2,147 votes and Roy received 2,098 votes. Lucas Remillard finished third with 1,597 votes. In the Grafton School Committee election, Rebecca Soko retained her seat with a narrow victory over challenger Lori Trahan. Soko received 1,816 votes to Trahan's 1,759 votes. Grafton voters also approved a $4 million debt exclusion vote for a new roof at Grafton Middle School. The vote for the roof was 2,723 in favor and 1,125 against. Our next article comes from the Grafton News, dated May 26, 2026. Grafton Cleanup Days Heroes 2026. Grafton is perennially a shining example of conservation and care for its outdoors. This year, the Grafton Garden Club once again organized numerous teams to collect unsightly trash from its roadways, streets, parks, and playgrounds. When the Grafton Garden Club began Grafton Cleanup years ago, it was a one-day affair. More recently, it has become a one-week affair. Now, according to the Grafton Department of Public Works, individuals are regularly getting their yellow bags and patrolling their neighborhoods, picking up the trash year-round. These conscientious citizens are models for all of us. Let us teach our children well. Earth is our home. Hundreds of yellow trash bags were filled and left for the DPW to collect and dispose of. I was told we filled one dumpster to the brim with our bags of trash. Congratulations to many people who do care about our town and our environment and took the time to clean up Grafton. All volunteers were treated to a free slice of pizza or small sandwich of pepperoni Express, followed by a free soft-serve child-sized cone at Swirls and Scoops on Saturday, April 25th. Good businesses have an environmental conscience and give back to the community. Additionally, Savers Bank provided bottles of water, and the Grafton Garden Club provided coffee and donuts. The Grafton DPW gave cleanup volunteer free white spruce and balsam fir tree saplings to pick or to celebrate the greening and beautification of Grafton. Many thanks to the sponsors of the Grafton Cleanup Day. Every community depends on a small core of special, concerned citizens to make good things happen. Serving on the Cleanup Day Committee were Helen Blazes, Chair, Elizabeth Weeks, Deborah Graham, and Linda Bent. Jim and Roger Graham were very helpful, too. The many cleanup teams included members of the Grafton Garden Club, including Evelyn Gillette, Shannon Phelan, Teresa Churchill, Troop 2019, who cleaned the high school and middle school areas, Rebecca Alfors, and family who picked up the trash at the North Street Playground, Helen and her grandson, Skyler, who picked up the trash along Route 122 and Route 140, the family of Kristen Palakis, who cleaned up Fay Mountain and George Hill Roads, and the Gerberati family, who cleaned up the Elliott Trail. Our valiant cleanup crews included Dale Bent, Michael Sassville, Stephen Crawley, Mary Pollinger, and Laura Nichols. Thanks to those Graftonites who helped with the Grafton cleanup are not mentioned here. The Grafton Garden Club is a 501c3 nonprofit. Their purpose is to promote knowledge of plants and gardening to raise money through the plant sale for scholarships and for students and grants for teachers and to beautify our wonderful town of Grafton. For the past 20 years, the Garden Club has organized Grafton Cleanup Day in remembrance of the first Earth Day many years ago. The Grafton Garden Club, where gardeners grow and keep Grafton clean and green. Our next article from the Grafton News, dated May 26, 2026, Grafton Police Department issues guidance following increase in black bear sightings. The Grafton Police Department announced an increase in black bear sightings reports in North Grafton and shared safety tips for residents. The department said these recommendations were sourced from the state website. We've recently experienced an uptick of black bear sighting reports in North Grafton. Here are some tips we found on the state website, the department said. Never intentionally feed bears. Intentional feeding can cause a bear to lose their fear of people. This can lead to bear becoming a threat to human safety and needing to be euthanized. Keep bears wild by never intentionally feeding wildlife. Remove bird feeders, bird seed, suet, and spilled seed attracts bears. Bird feeders draw bears closer to people, causing them to lose their fear of people. There is no safe time of year or day to have bird feeders out. Attract birds naturally by growing native plants. Protect chicken, bees, and livestock. A standard coop or pen will not keep out a bear. Properly install and maintain electric fencing to protect your chickens, hives, goats, sheep, and other livestock from bears. Secure trash and compost. Store garbage in closed containers in a garage or outbuilding and put it by the roadside the morning of pickup. Keep compost in clothes. Protect pets. Keep dogs on a leash whenever they're outdoors and never let dogs chase or interact with bears. Check the yard before going outside with your dog. The presence of a dog could trigger a bear to be aggressive. Bear encounter tips. Black bears are usually wary of people. If you see a bear in your yard, wait for the bear to leave, then remove or secure food sources on your property. If you encounter a bear in nature, talk in a calm voice and slowly back away. Do not run. Fight back if a black bear makes contact with you. According to the department's statement, residents can visit mass.gov/bears for more information or contact the Mass Wildlife 508-389-6300 for further assistance. This presented by the Grafton Police Department. Next article come from the Grafton News, dated May 29, 2026. Grafton School Committee gives superintendent high marks in annual evaluation. Grafton, in his annual evaluation before the school committee on May 13th, Superintendent James Cummings received a generally positive reviews, with school committee chair Laura Bram saying that Cummings did a great job in a tough year. Cummings was lauded for how he promotes the learning and growth of all students and the success of all staff through effective partnerships with families, community organizations, and other stakeholders that support the mission of the district and its schools. Dr. Cummings helped set the tone where families feel welcome and included in the life of the schools. There's a strong expectation that parents and guardians are partners, and he also leans into the idea that supporting students is shared work between schools and families. Staff are encouraged to collaborate closely with families to address academic, social, and emotional needs, and Dr. Cummings models that mindset in his own leadership. One school committee member wrote in their evaluation, though Cummings fell short in his quest to become 1,000 classroom visits, he ended the year with 507. School committee members praised how often he interacts with students, staff, and families. Members noted the amount of authentic relationships he has developed. For me, I was pretty excited just to see you out and about in the schools. I know you enjoy that part of the job and were able to do it. People are interacting with you nicely. You're accessible to folks, which is important, said school committee chair Laura Brown. Cummings has led the district through turbulent times. Last year, the district cut 6.5 full-time roles, and this year, an override ask came before the town to save 11.5 full-time school roles. The district also has several ailing roofs that require significant repairs. The school committee was grateful for Cummings' leadership, even though he had a full plate. I am grateful for Dr. Cummings' continued leadership. Having a superintendent stay for 15 years is almost unheard of this day and age. He has consistently worked to improve our district despite many challenges, another school committee member wrote. Cummings took no credit for all the positive feedback. Anything positive that was reflected in the evaluation, there's almost nothing I do in isolation, he told the school committee. Anything positive is always reflective in the work of other people. No piece would be positive without the work of its staff. Our next article from the Grafton News, dated May 26. Cummings School celebrates its 44th commencement. 142 degrees conferred across 6 doctoral and graduate programs. On one of the warmest and sunniest afternoons so far this spring, Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine at Tufts University held its 44th commencement ceremony on Sunday, May 17th at the Grafton campus. Graduation weekend officially kicked off Friday evening at the annual Dean's Dinner, where Dean Alistair Cribb honored students and faculty for their outstanding achievement this year. 20 students earned Masters of Science in Animal and Public Policy, 18 received Masters of Science in Conservation Medicine, and one student was awarded a Doctor of Philosophy. 98 students earned a doctorate of veterinary medicine, 2 received dual DVM and Master of Public Health degrees, and 3 students were awarded dual DVM Master of Science in Laboratory Medicine degrees. Next article from the May 26th Grafton News. Grafton announces vacancies on boards and committees with terms expiring in 2026. The town of Grafton announced board and committee vacancies with membership terms set to expire on June 30th, 2026, according to the notice from the town. The list of openings includes positions on Accessibility Advisory Committee, Affordable Housing Trust, Agricultural Commission, Board of Sewer Commissioners, Cable Advisory Committee, Community Preservation, Conservation Commission, Council on Aging, Grafton Cultural Council, Historic District Commission, Historical Commission, Planning Board, Associate Member, Recreation Commission, Traffic Safety Committee, Trails Committee, Trustees and Soldiers, and Sailors Memorials, and Zoning Board of Appeals. Interested residents should contact the Town Administrator's Office at 508-839-5335, extension 1200. Once again, the number of the Town Administrator's Office, 508-839-5335, extension 1200. Open Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Tuesdays 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Friday 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. The following news, information, and announcements are for the towns of Sutton and Millbury. Our first article from the Millbury-Sutton Chronicle, dated May 28, 2026, voters return Watkins to Sutton Select Board. Its unofficial results: incumbent Christine Watkins won a three-year term on the select board, where she'll join Dennis Daniel Spangler. Both beat Russell Longendorfer in the race. Watkins received 831 votes to Spangler's 498 and Longendorfer's 452. Watkins keeps her seat while Spangler replaces Norman Champagny, who did not run for re-election. In the school committee race, incumbent Christopher Matera maintains his seat for the next 3 years, beating challenger Erica Osborne by more than 200 votes. A second seat on the committee will be filled by Patrick Royce, who ran unopposed to stay on the school committee for the one-year seat. The planning board, library trustee, and two seats on the housing authority had no challengers for open seats. Incumbent Michael Gagan will serve on the planning board for a three-year term. Sharon McCann Kling will replace Norma Baker on the board of library trustees for a three-year term. Incumbent Mark Bailey will serve on the housing authority for another 5 years, and Dennis Lessard will join the housing authority for a one-year term. Nearly 1,100 residents cast votes in this year's election. Our next article from the Millbury-Sutton Chronicle: Sutton turns down Proposition 2.5 impact study. A brief annual town meeting in Sutton drew few comments from the citizenry until the 16th and final warrant article, a citizen's petition by resident Tracy Lemaire. Lemaire's petition asked the town to commission an independent study to evaluate the fiscal, operational, and community impacts of a Proposition 2.5, including but not limited to projected revenue needs, service level implications, and taxpayer impact over the next 5 years. The town moderator, Kenneth Stewart, told town meeting voters that the article was non-binding, that is, the town's officials were not obliged to act on it by appointing a commission for the study, and that it was not in any way a Proposition 2.5 override, as it may have been suggested on social media. Stewart said he had made the choice to include the warrant board discussion. I thought it was in the best interests of the town to at least hear both sides of the argument, Stewart said. The Finance and Warrant Advisory Committee's opinion went 6-3 against passage of the article, saying that the select board, as the executive body of the town, was the only one that could initiate such a study. One addition to their opinion, however, was a statement in the warrant that Finance and Warrant Advisory Committee was unanimously in favor with the concept of the article. LeMaire asked for two amendments to the article, both, she said, because of what the Finance Committee had said in their discussion about the article. LeMaire asked to include a dollar amount of $100,000 to be raised for the study and for the timing to go out one more year. Both those amendments failed, as did the warrant article itself, but not before a few residents and officials had their say. LeMaire said the $100,000 amount to hire an independent commission was based on the size of the town and what other independent auditors usually charge for the town this size. But both the cost and responsibility raised objections. We're cutting teachers. We already employ a town administrator and a superintendent, whose roles include financial planning, forecasting, and operational analysis, resident Michelle Jim Marinaro said. In the time when resources are limited, it is difficult to justify spending an additional $100,000 for work that should reasonably fall within the scope of existing leadership responsibilities. Resident Stephen Kroll suggested going through the usual channels, such as going to the select board rather than the town meeting. Isn't that what the select board, the finance committee, on all the management team in town are for? Kroll said. Select board chair Jesse Lemanic agreed. If we were to make that decision to hire an outside consultant, that would be kind of undermining our faith in our town manager and our superintendent, Lemanic said. Ultimately, it is their job descriptions to go through the finances top to bottom and report to the respective committees. Resident Jessica Clement said she wanted more information about the town's departments and school needed. Residents deserve to understand what services, staffing, and maintenance programs may have been reduced or delayed because of ongoing budget constraints, Clement said. Regarding the need for clearer information, Lemanic also pointed to the many discussions that had ensued regarding budgets and that residents could tune in to get the information they wanted. That, he acknowledged, was something that would be difficult for residents with busy lives. Still, some residents wanted the discussion open. It appears to be something that the select board, the school board, is not even willing to entertain, put up for a discussion, or anything, resident Elaine Barber said. So I support this warrant because I do feel this is what we need, and I ask the select board, if it doesn't go through, to actually engage in this conversation. I think it's pretty obvious that the finance committee, the board of selectmen, and the town administrator have gotten the message that there is interest in pursuing an override, resident Robert Nunmacher said, but not in this fashion. Select board member Christine Watkins said she understood the concerns, particularly the need to get the tribe board, which consists of the select board, the school committee, and the finance committee, to work diligently on the town's priorities and identify what the town needs. Barbara said she had heard that from the school's point of view, the tri-town meeting that was held was unproductive. Town manager Austin Saganowitz was disappointed in that characterization, saying that those involved had worked hard on the meeting and that the materials they created were available to residents on the town manager's website. And Saganowitz said he was planning the tri-board meetings for the coming year and that they would likely be meeting quarterly until budget season, when they would be meeting monthly. The next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, dated May 26, 2026, Millbury Briefs. Select Board May 12th meeting. Millbury Select Board met for the first regular meeting with newly elected member Michael Gilchrist, and the board reorganized with a familiar board configuration. Mary Kremzik as chair, Brian Sora as vice chair, and Nicholas Lazaro as clerk. Milbury's yard sale is planning to open in mid-June at the shops at Blackstone Valley and receive their common particular license approval from the board. The business sought and received their alcoholic beverage license last year. The business plans to be open 11 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 11 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. Beth Johnson has been appointed assistant town clerk, interim parking clerk, and municipal fire building code violation hearing officer. Three new firefighters were pinned and became members of the Milbury Fire Department's call force. The three graduated in March from the Massachusetts Firefighting Academy with 240 hours of what their boss, Chief Mark Strom, called rigorous training for 5 to 6 months. We'd like to recognize them for their dedication and hard work, Strom said. Andrew Carnes, pinned by his wife, Stephanie, Jason Jumper, pinned by his wife, Jen, and Christopher McCarter was pinned at the select board meeting. Transfer station stickers go on sale this week at the Board of Health in person and online. Come early, Assistant Town Manager Nicole Valentine said. There may be some lines. Valentine said there would be extra staff to assist. Looking for a fitting disposal of an American flag? Some repurposed mailboxes will be repainted and stationed at the transfer station and the VFW for depositing the flag so that they can be disposed of appropriately. Lots will be happening in June at the Asa Water Mansion, where the farmers market will be opening on June 18th and every third Thursday of the month through the fall. And the nation's 250th anniversary will be celebrated on June 27th with a historic costume party, dancing, raffles, food and costume contest with prizes. Tickets are $50 per person. And finally, recycled plastic film, such as bread bags, grocery bags, plastic film, and water cases in the plastic film's recycling bin at Town Hall and at the Senior Center to help the town collect 1,000 pounds in a recycling challenge. The following announcement is from the Milbury Senior Center. Need a ride to a doctor's appointment outside the WRTA area? We've got you covered. The Senior Center offers transportation for medical appointments beyond the WRTA service. For more information, call 508-752-9283. Monday through Thursday, 8 to 3:30, and Fridays, 8 a.m. to 11:30. This is a free service. 508-752-9283 is the number for the Milbury Senior Center. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Arnie Wenske. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more great programming from Audio Journal, including community news with Spencer Barry at 6 p.m., Worcester TNG at 7 p.m., and the USA Today at 8 p.m.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero giving you the latest weather forecast for Monday, June 1st, 2026. Here's my latest forecast. For today, we'll have a shower in the morning, otherwise clearing this afternoon. Highs getting up into the lower 60s. For tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the upper 40s. Now for your Tuesday, it's calling for mostly sunny skies. Highs Tuesday in the mid-70s. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies with a passage shower late. Lows will be near 60 degrees. And the outlook for Wednesday is calling for mostly sunny skies. Highs in the lower 80s. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for today, Monday, June 1st, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody. And please stay tuned for more programming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Bye.
is Bird Note. Rachel Carson, the author of Silent Spring, had a really serious relationship with a woman named Dorothy Freeman. They wrote love letters to each other. And in those letters, they wrote a lot about one bird that became really special to them, the veery, a type of thrush. The veery is pretty plain looking, but it has a particularly beautiful song. Hearing that song and hearing it together became kind of a quest for the two women. Here's an excerpt from one of Carson's early letters to Freeman.
I think it is quite possible for you and me and the veeries to be together in some magical time and place next June.
Carson and Freeman lived many states apart, but the veeries brought them together, despite the distance.
As I learned the other day, while I was in Rock Creek Park listening to veeries and wishing for you, you were walking along your road listening to wood thrushes and wishing for me.
You can hear the full story about Rachel Carson's love for Dorothy Freeman and the veeries on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Liza Yeager.